Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge Studios.
Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio. The Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Welcome, Mankato, to the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in to KTOE for Sporting Journal Radio. Hunting and fishing every week for an hour right here. This week, Dan Ryder from the Minnesota DNR joins us to talk about the Governor's Pheasant Opener last week and how conditions were, and more coming up. Also, Sarah Salway, she's a kitchen manager at Riverbend Resort on the Rainy River. She's got some goose recipes, some Baja walleye taco recipes she'll tell us about. Paul Johnson's the owner of Riverbend. We'll talk about some of that food they serve there, and as well as goose hunting up at Lake of the Woods. And Joe Henry has some high water, fast current fishing tips, all coming up. This week's show brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tours, and plan your trip to the Rainy River or Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. By Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, 30 inches of snow at Devil's Lake. They're thinking about winter snow bear fishing for perch. Go to haybaleheights.com to plan your trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Brought to you by Tazen Lake Lodge in Northwest Saskatchewan, Trophy Lake Trout and Trophy Northern Pike, and also brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. Go to prairiesportsman.org to watch our Emmy-winning segments and our Emmy-nominated segments as well. Our next guest now is the Information Officer for the South Region with the Minnesota DNR. Dan Ryder joins us on the show. Dan, how's it going?
It is a great day. How about you, Brett?
I'm good. And, of course, last week we hunted near each other down in Austin for the Governor's Pheasant Hunting Opener, and it was a busy weekend for you down there, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it was a really full weekend. The folks in Austin made sure that out-of-town media and guests were kept quite busy with all things Spamtown, and, you know, they really did. They did a great job, whether it was, you know, the entertainment Friday night or Saturday after the hunt, or just the tours for out-of-town folks. Boy, they really stacked it, and they stacked it well.
Yeah, that's a neat, it's really a neat area down there. I think it gets overlooked at times, or it's thought about just as the home of, you know, Hormel and Spam and all of that. And there's obviously a lot of outdoor opportunities you can take advantage of down there. But it was interesting. I found out there were some people that I know that just randomly happened to be at the Spam Museum when we were there at the Governor's Opener on Friday. They just happened to be visiting the area at the same time as us.
How's that for a coincidence?
Yeah, I didn't realize that the Spam Museum was that popular, but
yeah, well, you talk about a chance meeting, and right. You spell meeting M-E-A-G-I-N-G.
I see what you did there. Dan Ryder joining us, Sporting Journal Radio, obviously a trained professional here with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. How was hunting for you, Dan?
You know, I didn't actually get to go out. I was assigned to be with the governor. And the land that he was on, boy, did we see 7 or 8 roosters? I mean, it was really good ground. It was birdie. It was a lot of fun just to be along for the hunt, actually. And you know, the governor got his rooster,
yeah.
And for the first time in the event's history, we have, you know, a governor that has harvested a rooster. So pretty cool.
It's great. And I'll tell you what, I'll be the first to admit I disagree with some of the governor's political policies and what he does in that. But I'll give him a lot of credit for going out there and shooting a rooster, because I think you'll see a lot of politicians take part in events like this where they're hunting, fishing, or something outdoor related. And they make their appearances and they try to appease guys that sit on both sides of the political spectrum. But you don't always see them actually pull the trigger and harvest something. And, you know, to have the DNR commissioner harvest the turkey this spring, which is a little bit of a different deal, but to have the governor shoot a pheasant this weekend, I'll give him a lot of credit for that.
Well, you know, the governor has been looking forward to this event for quite some time. In fact, you know, when I saw him in January at Roundtable, I mean, he pointed the finger right at me and he said, "We're gonna get a rooster this year." and that was back in January. I think he had just taken the oath of office. But you know, it's not his first time participating in the Governor's Pheasant Hunting Opener. Mr. Walls is been an invited guest as a member of Congress in the past, and you know, he harvested a rooster last year in Laverne, and I want to say the year before, I can't remember about Marshall 2017, but pretty sure 2016 in Montevideo, he harvested a rooster. So he is our sportsman in chief, really. And for the governor's fishing opener, he had a little side bet going with the lieutenant governor, which he lost because I think all he got was a couple of small perch. And I think the lieutenant governor got three or four small perch for the opener. But the lieutenant governor was not willing to make that same bet this go around for the pheasant opener. she's a smart woman.
Yeah.
She knows that, our governor is a pretty good shot and he really enjoys pheasant hunting. So yeah, it was a really good day. And, they gave him, I think, really good ground. It was high enough, as wet as things have been in southern Minnesota and south central Minnesota. We really didn't encounter much for water. It was really good habitat. And, that goes back to, I think, a lot of the conservation work that's been taking place in Mower County, which has really been impressive.
Yeah, I want to get back to the property for just a minute that we hunted on down there too. But I do want to mention, I can't remember what year it was. Oh, it was Worthington. When we were down in Worthington for the governor's pheasant opener, I actually hunted with Governor Walz before he was governor. I was actually with him. And I didn't see him harvest one that day, but I did get to walk next to him in the field. I actually interviewed him for this radio show after the hunt was over. So I know he's taken part in this last couple of years, which is pretty cool to see, actually. So Dan, the ground we hunted on was beautiful land. It was rim land. The landowner had enrolled this property in rim. And he had great grass. He had a big chunk of land. There was water nearby. There were trees. There were food plots scattered throughout it. And there was some water on this one, though. I was glad I had my rubber boots. I haven't hunted in anything but knee-high rubber boots for the last couple of years in western Minnesota just because of all the water. And we needed it in spots. I think a few of the guys stayed dry where they were walking, but I went right in for the thick, wet stuff, of course. And and we got our birds. There was three of us hunting, and we got our six birds in 90 minutes down there, which if you would have asked me last week before we went down to Austin for the governor's opener that we'd have our six birds and be done and on our way to lunch by 10:30, I would have said, you're crazy, Dan.
Yeah. How about that? You weren't the only one. There are several hunting parties that limited out before 11 o'clock. Really impressive. And, for our group, I'm trying to think of how many guns there were in the group. I think four. And, a couple of times the roosters just flat out got away from us. And, but that's hunting too. It was a lot of fun because, the dogs were active and they were birdie, there were definitely, roosters in the grass. That's for sure. It was a lot of fun.
Two things come to mind after hunting last weekend down there. One is we were on really nice private ground. There was a bunch of big chunks of public ground around there too, is what I was told about the region. But we were definitely on some land that was essentially built for pheasants and deer. And it just goes to show what good habitat can do. And when there's good grass on the ground, good habitat out there, just what it can do for birds and bird numbers. It also goes to show that I think we have better bird numbers this year than a lot of people realize. And this last week, I've been doing a lot of hunting around western Minnesota since the opener. And there's been a lot of birds that I've kicked up right at my feet that are just struggling to get airborne, and barely have any color to them. So I think, and then anecdotal evidence from a number of different people have said that there's a lot of young birds out there and everybody brings up late hatches. And I think that's something that really, really is evident this year, is that there's a lot of late hatch birds. So I think bird numbers are going to be better. And you could look at this one of two ways. It's going to be good later season because we got young birds now and hopefully they make it to later season. We've got so many crops up, so much corn up and soybeans, and some of this corn may not come out until next spring if it ever comes out. So it could be tough hunting down the road, but maybe all that cover and food will give some of these young pheasants a good chance to survive and either make it to later in the season or even make it to next season. So it's sometimes the standing crop is a blessing in disguise, but it can make for frustrating hunting this year, which it's another one of those things, Dan. I didn't expect it to be good with all those crops up everywhere.
Well, I kind of shared your pessimism a little bit. I was a little bit worried about it. And like you, you know, a couple of the roosters that we saw weren't exactly the brightest colored. So,
yeah.
You know, kind of seeing some of the same things that you are, you know, the late brood. And I have heard that from several other folks, too, not just around the Austin-Mower County area, but really around southern Minnesota. So, you know, you might be spot on there that maybe late season hunting might be a little bit better, you know, as we get some drier weather, our farmers can get into the fields. And, you know, around the New Ulm area, we still have a fair amount of beans in the field, and hopefully they get harvested while the weather is dry this weekend. And, you know, hopefully they can start hammering that corn before too long, because yeah, we really need that gone before we can really get into the good hunts. So, but yeah, the late broods, certainly, that was not an anomaly that you had seen. I'm hearing that elsewhere too.
Tell us about next year's Governor's Pheasant Hunting Opener.
So in 2020, it will be in Fairmont. That was announced last Friday night at the banquet of the Minnesota Governor's Pheasant Hunting Opener in Austin. So Fairmont was, it's a competitive bid process, and they certainly put together the winning bid. Again, a lot of strong conservation partners in Martin County, a lot of good ground. And, you know, we're really looking forward to working with the Fairmont community, too, because, at the end of the day, it's really about pheasants and habitat and, you know, just seeing the amount of work that had been taking place in Mower County and then, you know, seeing the results of that work in, you know, sheer number of birds, you know, I'm really looking forward to working with Fairmont, because I think that's going to be a really good hunt, a really strong hunt. And that's the icing on the cake right there.
Looking forward to it. Had a great time last weekend in Austin. Dan Ryder, Information Officer for the Southern Region, Minnesota, Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. Thanks for the time on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the network by demand or by the podcast. I'm Brett Amundson. Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism, our guest right now. Joe, of course, we got to spend time up there last week at Riverbend with Paul and Sarah, who are both going to be on the show later. And of course, we're up there with the guys from AGLOW, the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Riders. We got to do some goose hunting, which of course we talked about last week. And we talked about the fishing a little bit as well. And Joe, with all the water that's everywhere right now, it seems like when you're fishing out on that river right now, it's the river's cooking a little bit up there, Joe.
Well, you know, for if it was spring, we wouldn't think anything of it. But for anglers to go up there in the fall, you know, the water's going to be probably a little higher and probably moving a little quicker than you're used to. And, you know, I thought it'd be good. I'm getting some phone calls about, all right, man, what do I do? How do I do this differently? Because my normal fall spots might be, you know, moving pretty good. And here's what I would say. You know, as a rule of thumb, and this is holding true for the Rainy River this fall as well, you know, when there's a lot of water moving, that could be a pro or a con, depends on how you look at it. One thing moving water does is it, I think it really congregates fish. So once you get on them, oftentimes there's a whole bunch of fish there. What I like to do this time of year is if it's really cranking like that and really moving, I try to find some eddies. So whether you're behind a point, whether there is something blocking the water, or whether you're close to shore, because there's always shoreline nuances that'll block water. If you can get in those eddies where there's just less current, you know, oftentimes that'll hold good numbers of fish. You know, I talked to anglers this last week that have been catching fish and, you know, we're from 4 to 7 feet of water right up close to shore. I also been talking to guys and gals that have been fishing either behind an island or behind a point, something to break that current. And boy, when you get on that edge where it's kind of swirling back right in that current edge, that's where those walleyes and saugers are going to be.
You kind of got to get some weight to get down there, and not only the walleyes and saugers, but when you're fishing down on the bottom like you do for those types of fish, there's some bonus fish that can really make things exciting up there in the Rainy, Joe.
You know, there always is, and it's a river. So, yeah, you might hook into a huge sturgeon. And I know, actually, you had that happen last week, didn't you?
I did, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I can't wait to see the footage again, because that big sturgeon came completely out of the water and spit the hook, which, you know, normally nobody's real happy about losing a big fish like that. But when it happens in such dramatic fashion and the camera guy goes, when the camera guy's the only one that sees it happen, we're all facing the other direction, and the camera guy is the one that sees it happen and then follows that up with, and I got it all on camera. That's perfect.
That is perfect. Well, that is going to make some fun footage to see. I haven't seen that yet either. But no, you know, you talk about getting multi-species when you're jigging, and yep, you're going to get your walleyes and saugers. You could catch a big sturgeon, catch a huge smallmouth, a football. You could catch a big pike. You could catch a sucker. I mean, you catch big crappie, perch. I mean, there's a lot of fish in the river.
Yeah. And Joe, and the sturgeon fishing on the Rainy has been around for a long time. Of course, it seems like it's really getting more and more popular each year up there. But one thing I've noticed a lot of in recent years is sturgeon fishing through the ice. And I know our friend Jamie Dittman actually went up to the Rainy, I think last winter, wasn't it? Specifically just to go cut a hole on the river and fish for sturgeon. I can't imagine bringing one of those big sturgeon up through the ice, Joe.
Oh man. Yeah, no, I'll tell you it. And you know, anglers have done it, and they of course have a big heavy duty rod, heavy line. They got a bigger hole punched in the ice. And it's quite a thrill. And it's kind of one of those things where, all right, man, I've mastered it through the open water. Wouldn't it be freaking cool to catch one through the ice? Now, I've got them through the ice, but I wasn't fishing for them. I was fishing on the lake for walleyes.
Oh,
I pulled a few. I mean, I had one, Brett, where, boy, I tell you, it was 4:15. It was a golden hour. And a big red mark came on my Vexilar. And I put my jigging spoon down there and gave it a couple jiggles and hit the bottom, lift up in the strike zone, and pow, I set that hook. Freaking rod broke.
Oh.
And I gave the reel to somebody and said, open the bail. And, you know, an hour later, we got the fish up. And
you hand-lined it.
I hand-lined it all the way up, yeah. And it was just, was like a log. I mean, I could not get it off the bottom. Finally, when I got his head coming up, trust me, I wasn't going to let it go back down. I just kept forcing it. And, you know, luckily, we got it right up the hole. And, you know, and that's the other point, too, is that, you know, in that case, we had an 8-inch hole. You can get a pretty darn big fish through an 8-inch hole. I mean, people talk about that, but... You know, really, I haven't heard of very many fish that are too big to get through an 8-inch hole. So if you ever get a big fish, normally you're going to squeeze that fish through.
Well, we should probably start talking about ice fishing pretty soon here, Joe. I know a lot of guys in North Dakota are thinking about winter just because when they look out the window, they're seeing piles and piles of snow out there. But winter and ice fishing is not that far away.
We're close. Yeah. I mean, I say close. I mean, you know, for Lake of the Woods, it's always closer to. And, you know, for people that are planning ahead, here's what I'd tell you. You know, as everybody knows, ice fishing across the Midwest has become, across the ice belt, right, has become very popular and more popular. And, you know, if you have certain weekends or certain weeks that you and your group want to go, I would call now and make those reservations. And it's not a sales pitch. It's just planning ahead because it is becoming more and more popular. I will also say that, you know, Lake of the Woods, we get a pretty darn good jump on the ice season and we fish longer than most. You know, on average, our resorts are putting out day houses right around that early December mark, right around December 10th is what I like to say on average. Certainly, there's years we've had them out before December 1st, and there's years we've had them out a little bit after December 10th. And then, of course, as you go on through the season, on average, I would say that they start letting SUVs and small pickups drive out right around that Christmas Eve time frame. And then you know, right after that, when the ice thickens just a little bit more, they let you pull a wheelhouse out if that's what you're into. But, you know, it is a fun time. And, you know, the other thing, too, is we talk about December 10th for the normal day houses going out from Lake of the Woods. You know, prior to that, if you like going on your own with collapsibles and ATVs, you know, you can get out there much earlier in some of the ice roads. And, boy, I tell you, that early ice, Brett, oh, my gosh, that is some of the best fishing of the year.
That's what everybody told me up there. They said you got to get up here right away for winter fishing. And I'm going to try to do that. And I know those dates book up quick. So if people want to get a trip booked, for the dates that they choose, they should probably get on that. Where can they find out more information about a trip to Lake of the Woods, Joe?
You know, Google Lake of the Woods Tourism. Otherwise, our specific address is, lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, Joe Henry, thank you very much. We're going to talk about one of those resorts in General Riverbend. Riverbend's Resort in Walleye Inn. Paul Johnson is the owner. He's going to join us. And their kitchen manager is going to join us to talk about recipes for fish tacos, walleye tacos, and about some goose that she prepared specially for us. It was really good. You're going to want to hear the recipe. It's all coming up on Sporting Journal Radio.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
With 2 million acres of hunting land and water to choose from, the Thief River Falls area offers hunters choices of deer, elk, bear, grouse, woodcock, and sandhill cranes. This is also a growing area for duck and goose populations, making it an untapped bonanza for waterfowlers. In any season, Thief River Falls is truly a hunter's paradise. Visit Thief River Falls for an authentic hunting experience and a variety of comfortable lodging amenities. They're pet friendly too. Plan your trip today at www.visittrf.com.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Northwest Minnesota's premier whitetail and bear guide and outfitter is Clearwater County Outfitters, offering 100% free-range whitetail experiences. Archery, rifle, and muzzleloader hunts from heated elevated box blinds, ladder stands, and ground blinds are available. Clearwater County Outfitters also offers fall black bear hunts over bait. To learn more or to book a hunt, visit clearwatercountyoutfitters.com. That's clearwatercountyoutfitters.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the northwest angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
We're just talking about the chili that we had here for lunch today at Riverbend's Resort and Walleye Inn. And the person responsible for that chili is now joining us here on the radio show. It's Sarah Salway.
Yes.
I got it right, Salway. I thought for sure I was going to say it wrong. Chili was delicious. Nice job.
Thank you.
What was the secret?
I don't know.
Love.
Oh, love. That's what he said. You made your food with love here.
I do.
Now, you're the kitchen manager here?
Yes, I am.
All right. So I wanted to talk to you about the chili and a couple of other things. So, because I asked you earlier, I'm like, because there was just enough spice in it, just enough heat, but not too much that it completely dominates it, and you're just sweating, and your nose is running, and it's just ridiculous. It was perfect, I thought, in that flavor and heat ness, and I asked you about that. I'm like, what was the kick in there? You're like,
I don't know.
A little bit of everything.
Not quite sure. So that's when you just say it's a secret. It's a secret recipe. It's one of my tricks. So what do you think it was? What did you do with your chili?
Well, this time I tried three meats. I put chorizo in it, our homemade chorizo.
What is chorizo?
It's a Spanish sausage with a bunch of spices in it. And I did Italian sausage and burger.
Okay. And what made you decide to put those three meats in there?
Try something different. Wanted a meatier chili.
Well, it was very meaty.
Yes, it was.
It was very good. And then you actually, we shot some geese this week, and I kind of suggested, hey, we should eat some of these, because I eat geese all the time, especially this time of year. I like eating Canada goose. And I think, if I remember the reaction you gave when we said, can you cook up some Canada geese, it was like, yeah, are you serious right now?
Well, because I've never had any kind of experience cooking any kind of wild game except for venison.
Okay.
So geese was the first time for me.
Yeah, and you asked me kind of a couple of questions about how I do it, but if I were a betting man, I'd say you either just figured it out and took what you wanted to do on your own, or you Googled it a little bit.
Yes, I did a little bit of research. I had to. I didn't want to screw up.
Yeah, no, it was very good. So you marinated it. We'll talk about the process. What did you decide to do?
I actually soaked it in beer.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yep, I soaked it in beer, get the impurities out, soaked it for about an hour, drained it, rinsed it, cleaned it, did it again, just kept doing the process. I did it about three times.
With beer each time.
And then I marinated it for about 12 hours the next day.
Is there a certain kind of beer you like to do it with? Doesn't matter.
Kind of beer will work.
All right.
You want that carbonation.
The beer that you don't like that's been sitting in the back of the fridge that somebody brought over day that you know you're never going to drink, you can cook with that.
The white claw.
So you did that a couple of times to kind of clean it out a little bit.
Yep.
And then you made a marinade for it.
Yes, I did.
And what did you, a little of this, a little of that, a little of those.
A whole lot of Worcestershire sauce, a lot of acid, like lemon juice and vinegar, and then a bunch of seasonings, whatever seasoning you want to use.
And you mentioned to me salt and sugar, which...
Yes, salt and sugar. You can never go wrong.
Can't go wrong with salt and sugar. Well, I know we served it to a bunch of people, and you chunked it up.
Yep.
So did you chunk it up first and then marinate it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's kind of the way to go with that. And then how long did you marinate it for?
About 12 hours.
12 hours, okay. And then you... what did you do with it then after you marinated it?
I did it on the flat top with butter and garlic.
Oh.
That was it. And then the medallions I grilled.
Okay. Yeah, what made you decide? I noticed there was the medallions in the chunks. Was there a different... They were all marinated the same way?
Yep.
Just decided to do kind of a different...
Yep.
Different
Maybe
cut
give
of
it
meat.
A different flavor.
Sure. Okay. Well, and then how long did you have them on the flat top for?
8 minutes.
Quick. Yeah.
Didn't take very long.
Well, I know. And then you served it with a couple of sauces.
Yep.
And I was happy to see the sweet chili sauce.
Yep. And barbecue.
Yes. And barbecue. The two best sauces in the world. I'm a little partial to both of those. Sweet chili is just, I think I could take my sock off, dip it in sweet chili, and probably get sick. But I would enjoy it for part of it anyway. But I love sweet chili sauce. And I know we served it to a number of different people that had either not eaten goose before or didn't like eating Canada goose, and they all loved it.
That's awesome.
So you did a nice job.
Thank you very much.
When it comes to fish, we should talk about fish a little bit. Sarah Salway is our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio kitchen manager at Riverbends Resort, Walleye Inn, Lake of the Woods. We're on the Rainy River. When it comes to fish, do you do, you fry up some walleye, or you cook up some walleye a lot?
Yes, very, very often.
What's your favorite way to do it?
I like deep frying it. It tastes so good.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with deep frying it. What kind of, as far as like coating or batter, what do you like to do?
That's a secret. I can't tell.
Oh! All right, we got a few minutes left in the interview. I'm gonna find out before the interview is over. We'll just it's a secret. When you get the fillets, what do you do with them when you get the fillets? How do you process them?
We wash them off, we clean them,
okay.
And then we just batter them in our batter and we fry them.
Okay,
you don't
soak them in anything or do anything. You just put them right in.
Yep.
Fry them. Okay, how long do you fry them for?
About 4.5 minutes, 5 minutes, till they're nice and crispy.
Till they're floating. That's
firm and floating.
How long do you do them for? Till they're floating. There you go, and they're flaky. All right. And do you have a seasoning then that you put them on after you fry them?
Nope. The batter's already
seasoned. Sure. Very cool. All right. And then how about like a dipping sauce or anything? Or?
Our house-made tartar.
Okay.
That's it. And lemon wedges.
Lemon wedges, sure. All right, well, let's get a little bit of background because we were talking in the boat a little bit, and I was talking about that. I was like, that goose is really good, you know? And I said, who is this kitchen manager that you got? Because she's making some pretty good food. And he said, you have some education in the culinary arena.
I do.
Tell us about your background a little bit.
I went to Le Cordon Bleu in Minneapolis at about 2 years. I graduated in 07 and I went out and did my internship in Northern California, and I cooked out in Napa. I cooked down in near LA. I was out in California for about 10 years and came back here and...
LA, Lake of the Woods.
I graduated high school from Lake of the Woods. I got family here.
And you got smart and came back. Yeah, very good. Very good. How was living in LA?
Hot.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of people.
Ridiculous. That's the word I could come up with. And I've never lived there, but it's got to be ridiculous.
I'm a Minnesota girl at heart,
yeah,
so.
There you go. Very cool.
I belong here.
What is your favorite meal to prepare?
Tacos. Ooh, I love tacos.
Tacos. Well, tell us about the meal we're having tonight, as a matter of fact.
We are having walleye tacos.
Yeah.
With a California Mexican twist.
Okay. How does that work?
Well, it's going to be kind of spicy. A lot of lime juice, cilantro, pickled onions, and walleye.
And, well, you got to have walleye in there. We're at the walleye capital, man. So walleye tacos, is it their Baja walleye tacos or something?
Yep.
All right. All right. I'm just thinking about the tacos here for a minute, so I'm going to be off in my own world for just a second. I apologize. Okay, we'll move past that. What has been your meal that you've prepared that you're most surprised about how well it turned out?
Well, recently I did smoked trout.
Ooh.
Smoked lake trout for the first time.
And we had that the other night. Is that the stuff we had
yep.
the other night? Yeah, that
yep.
was very good too.
I was very surprised. Always like not sure I want to try trout, but I tried and was like, wow, that's really good.
Lake trout's good. It can be a little oily, but lake trout.
That's what I was told.
Right. So walk us through the process. How did you do the lake trout?
I brined it in salt, brown sugar, water, just some seasonings, sriracha, like a spicy hot sauce, overnight, and then I smoked it for about 3 hours, actually.
What temperature?
180.
And then
hickory wood chips.
Hickory, okay. Well, it turned out very good.
Thank you.
That was, it was delicious. So, lake trout, Canada goose, and walleye tacos. And you talk about not cooking wild game very much or not being very good at it. Obviously, you're okay at it.
Yes, I'm learning.
You're doing okay. And if people want to come in here, you can. They're going to eat your food all the time if they come here to Riverbend, right?
Yep.
All right. And I know that was it jerk chicken? The what was it called? What was
yep, this? Jerk chicken and coconut cilantro lime rice.
That was your special on Monday nights throughout the summer.
Yep.
Is that a menu item? Can somebody come in and say, hey, I want to get that? I heard about this.
No, it's a complete special item.
So if I come up here, though, I'm going to be like, hey, Sarah, you got to cook me this coconut
milk
rice. Jerky chicken thing, whatever, and then smoke some trout, and I'll bring you some Canada goose to cook up. And
deal.
All right, very good. Sarah Salway, thank
yes.
you for being on the show. Riverbend's Resort and Walleye Inn, the kitchen manager. Thanks for giving us some cooking tips here on Sporting Journal Radio.
You're welcome. Thank you.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our 5-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. With 2 million acres of hunting land and water to choose from, the Thief River Falls area offers hunters choices of deer, elk, bear, grouse, woodcock, and sandhill cranes. This is also a growing area for duck and goose populations, making it an untapped bonanza for waterfowlers. In any season, Thief River Falls is truly a hunter's paradise. Visit Thief River Falls for an authentic hunting experience in a variety of comfortable lodging amenities. They're pet friendly too. Plan your trip today at www.visittrf.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Broadcasting from the Tazen Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
We're at Riverbend's Resort and Walleye Inn with Paul Johnson, owner here at Riverbend. How you doing, man?
Good, Brett. How about yourself?
We've had a great time up here, as always, of course. This area in general is just a great area to be in.
It truly is. It's what brought us up here, my wife and family and I, about 10 years ago. We moved up to the area to just to dive into the industry of resorting and tourism up here.
Where did you move up from?
We moved up from Otter Tail County down in central Minnesota, the county with a bunch of lakes in it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a pretty good area in itself. What made you go, I know this area is pretty good here around Otter Tail, but Lake of the Woods is the place for me.
So resorting, growing up in the resorting industry, managing other resorts down in Otter Tail County, it was kind of in my wife Brandy and I's blood. And we said if we ever wanted to get into it for ourselves, we wanted to do something that was year-round. You know, we grew up on what's been labeled as a ma-and-pa resort. You know, it was Memorial Day to Labor Day, and the ones that we managed in that area were the same way. And we, you know, if we were going to do it, we were going to dive into it. And so Lake of the Woods was the best market for that year-round approach for running a resort.
Obviously, people are going to come up here for the fishing, probably first and foremost. Fishing can be good. Fishing is usually very good. You have your off days like anywhere, of course. And it's those days, those rare days where it may not go perfect, where you still have to have an experience for them to make keep them happy and keep them wanting to come back. And obviously you got a beautiful building here, a great bar, great restaurant. I think you got a pretty good person back there in the kitchen, by the way, because the food's amazing.
Yes, Sarah's our kitchen manager, and she's just knocking it out of the park. And you know what's so amazing is to build a team of qualified staff, you know, managers in every position, you know, all the way down to, you know, housekeeping. You know, everybody is participating to create that experience. And when people come up to Lake of the Woods, if you've been here before, you have options. And to us, that's called competition. Mm-hmm. And when we're all kind of competing for the same thing, you have to do something different. And what we've tried to identify is that what sets us apart is when you come here, you're going to have an experience. You're going to have an enjoyable time. From the time you come in the door to check in, to the food that you come in and order at the restaurant, to the service at the bar, docs, our guides, you know, everyone's going to be there to make sure that your experience is top-notch and hopefully second to none.
Yeah, we had some chicken the other night. I can't remember what the chicken was. It was on the right. It was like coconut rice or coconut. I can't remember. What was that chicken?
It was a Jamaican jerk chicken served over a coconut cilantro rice.
Yeah, unbelievable. And I'm not a big coconut guy. I was licking the plate clean. Well, we've talked about the lodge and the food here, of course. Let's talk about the fishing a little bit. You run a couple launches. You got a bunch of houses in the wintertime. How is fishing right now out here?
So right now, it's a transitional period. You know, the shiners are starting to run. We usually get that first big run of shiners in September, and then they'll just tend to trickle in throughout, you know, September and into October, and with that come the walleyes. And so fall fishing on the Rainy River is phenomenal fishing because of that shiner run. It brings the walleyes back into a concentrated part of the lake down in the southeast corner and other tributaries, but strongly into the Rainy River. And so there's a lot of fish that are moving in. You know, just out fishing tonight, we're marking fish all over the graph, and bait clouds coming in besides.
I know some people, when they fish up here and they're trying to catch those big walleyes or a limit of walleyes, there's another fish that sometimes they hook into, and it's funny. It's like it's one or the other. Some guys just like, nope, I'm not going to do this. And some guys are like, oh, I can't wait to do this. And tonight we had kind of that experience. I hooked into a fish, and I felt this little tap. And I've been missing fish all night, so my goal this time was like, if I felt just a little tap, I was just going to kind of hang on a second and wait for that fish to kind of take that bait in, or, you know, give her a better hit or whatever. It's a little tap, and I was like, okay. And then there's another little tap, and I was like, oh. And then I hit a third one, and I was starting to think sturgeon a little bit by the way it was acting. And I set the hook, and the fish didn't move, you know, and that's like, okay. You know, I was hoping it was a big walleye. I'm not going to lie. I was hoping it was a big walleye, but I'm not going to complain one bit about hooking into a big sturgeon on that walleye gear. And we didn't land the fish. We'll just put that out there. But what happened was really cool with that. And we fought it for a while. And, you know, when you're on light gear like that, the fish is going to run on you, and it's going to run around. And we had a couple other lines in there, and we were untangling some stuff.
Cue rodeo music.
Yeah, right. And that fish, you know, we weren't in a mess or anything. We're just kind of moving rods around or whatever. And that fish came up out of the completely out of the water, spit the hook, all of it on camera, and to me, that's a way cooler story and a way cooler experience. I mean, it would have been nice to land the fish, but to have that all on camera like that is a pretty neat story.
Yeah, and again, that just falls into so many opportunities you have up here when fishing in this body of water. You know, sturgeon has become so popular because of the size, because of the girth. I mean, you get a couple different first reactions when you set the hook on a sturgeon. You know, yeah. One is, am I snagged on a log?
Right.
You know, is there a log passing down? Well, then it starts swimming upstream. Well, we know logs don't go upstream.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is the walleye of my lifetime, you know,
right.
Until it starts to run. And there's so many emotions that happen that you feel that, you know, those are those memories, you know, those emotions and those feelings associated with that hook set. And then what happened afterwards?
Yeah.
To see it come
all the way out of the water. Well, and it was coming up, and like I knew it was a heavy fish, but it was kind of letting me bring it up, you know. And I've seen that with sturgeon where they're like, I don't really know what's going on, but I don't really care yet. And all of a sudden it gets kind of close to the boat, and then it's like, nope, this ain't happening. They go, and that's when the trouble happened for us. And it seems like they'll come up to the surface a lot of times like that and roll or jump or whatever. And we heard the splash. I know you and I think heard the splash, and I think the only guy that saw it was the camera guy. I don't think anybody else saw it. We all heard the splash. We're like, oh my gosh, that was a big fish. And I'm looking at my bare hook flying out of the water, and then we watched it back on the video, and you can see that whole sturgeon come up out of the water on camera. That's pretty cool.
That was awesome. And then the camera guy announcing, I got that on film.
Yeah, right? That's the best words. When there's a camera guy on board.
I got that.
And he says, I got that. It's the greatest feeling in the world. Paul Johnson, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. We should talk about where we are, Riverbends Resort and Walleye Inn on Lake of the Woods, of course, overlooking the Rainy River. We really hammered the Canada geese while we were up here this week. And you got to come out and join us for a couple of those hunts.
What's so cool also is when they're crossing the border, they don't get a lot of attention from hunters in Canada. So when they're coming across and they're landing in fields along the border, they haven't seen hunters. They haven't seen spreads. And they're coming in new. They're coming in fresh. They're coming in, you know, gullible, naive, all the words you want to use for a bird. And it just makes for some super memorable shooting.
When you can decoy them that close, and I know we had a couple of the guys with us this week that hadn't been in a situation like that, a field hunt for big Canada geese, where they're literally taking sometimes less than 10-yard shots, which for some guys, it can be too close for them. Some, oh my God, it's too close to me. I couldn't catch up to it or shoot right past it, shoot right behind it, whatever.
I know we brought your son out for one of the hunts too.
Yeah, his request this year for his birthday was a goose hunt.
Really? That was his birthday present?
It was delayed because we had some rain and the fields were wet. And yeah, last few years it was, you know, he trades out between goose hunting, duck hunting on his birthday.
When was his birthday?
The 29th of September.
Well, yep. Mine's the 28th of September.
Oh,
so,
no way.
Yeah. And I usually ask for birthday hunting trips as well. Now I just ask myself and I just go.
New tradition.
Yeah, I'll have to come up here and hunt with your kid. That was great. And we were down to one goose on that hunt. And who got to shoot the last goose?
You know, we saved. It was really awesome with the entire group to let him blast that last one. It'll put the pressure on him.
Yeah.
And then to see him perform is just amazing. Building confidence in the youth, in the youth hunters, getting them out there as much as possible, introducing him to the outdoors. And he pulled up and he nailed it day over. Just it was an awesome morning.
That was proud dad. Cool. And that's your son. He's how old is he? And what's
his
name?
Turned 15. Yep, ninth grader at Lake of the Woods school here up in Baudette.
That's Matt.
Yep,
Matthew. Yes, Matthew. Well, nice job, Matthew. Happy birthday. It was fun to hunt with. Oh, there he is right there. Was he watching us?
No, walking by.
Oh, he just, happened to walk by.
Just happened to be coincidentally walking by.
Talking about him. That's great. All right. Well, Riverbends Resort and Walleye Inn, if people want to come up, like for fall fishing, how late can they come up and do some fall fishing with you up here? Or should they start thinking about renting fish houses for the winter? Maybe even start thinking about spring fishing. How can they plan a trip up here?
So if you want to come up now, midweeks, you know, I always say midweeks are the best time to come up here fishing. There's not as much pressure. The traffic is not as bad. And we typically have a few cabins or rooms available at the hotel in town at the Walleye Inn to where you could get up and do some fishing during the middle of the week. Now between, I'd say, the end of October. MEA weekend's always a big weekend. If you ever want to take advantage of that 4-day weekend, if you have kids, you want to bring them up, you got to book, you know, a month, 2 months in advance because it fills up fast. But we do have openings, you know, at the end of October into November, but that's all weather dependent, you know, for this year. And then we just wait for the transition and for everything to get cold. And, you know, last year we were on the ice around the 1st of December. Yeah. And wow. It was a long season last year, but typically if
that's good though, right?
First,
I mean,
first Saturday, first weekend to second weekend is typically when we're on the ice. So it's great when we can get on early.
Yeah.
And the fishing, that first ice fishing is just, you know, amazing. And if you haven't experienced first ice on Lake of the Woods, And you know, I'm not going to quote, you know, what you're going to get, but
sure.
Most fishermen are they're seeing 100 fish days a house, you know, early ice. It's just awesome.
Mm. Wow. Well, very good. It's been a great time up here. Thanks for hosting us up here. I really appreciate it. I've eaten way too much food. I know we got a great meal coming again tonight. I'm looking forward to it. I know Mika's been happy being on the deck and the patio out here overlooking the river and sitting outside the cleaning houses where cleaning birds and fish and waiting for scraps if she can get her paws on it. But again, thank you very much, and we've had a great time. Paul Johnson.
Thanks, Brett.
Thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.